You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
Have you been to the Seaquarium lately? It's depressing.
I mean, it's been depressing for 15 years.
They haven't done anything to it. My head hit several roofs because it was built in the 1960s, and I guess people were shorter then. Like, I clocked myself bad.
Seaquarium's been super sad for a long time.
And they do this thing because I guess a blackfish, it's like red alert right now for all these aquatic theme parks. And they were explaining, we went to go see the Flipper show. They were explaining that they have a reward method for the dolphins. And so if the dolphins just exhibit behavior that isn't in line with what the trainers are hoping for, they just ignore the behavior and they just reward the good behavior. So it's hot. Juliet's battling a fever. I'm like regretting everything. It's just me and Juliet. I've done a daddy-daughter outing, but this was rough. Nose leaking, you know, regretting a lot of things. And I just stick around for the Flipper show in oppressively hot heat.
Smattering of people, very few people there.
Yeah. And you could tell who was tourists and who was just in town for the party. It was weird. I felt like I was at Carnival for a second.
But if you're there, that's the main attraction. You don't leave before the Flipper show.
You got to see the Flipper show. So I wanted to leave at 11:15, but I tough it out for 11:45 and for the Flipper show. And the Dolphins didn't want to do a show. They
boycotted.
Yeah, they explained it to us and we all had to leave. And I'm not trying to get Pete on my ass, but you get those Dolphins to do a flip or something because it was hot. I was looking for something more. They brought out a sea turtle as if that's any kind of consolation prize.
Not a suitable replacement.
You can't get any more diametrically different from a bottlenose dolphin in terms of acrobatics than a fucking turtle.
Don't, generally speaking, animal theme parks make you a little bit sad when it's the water theme parks?
Oh, like, yeah.
Zoos don't do this to me the same way.
Because I don't think that the same kind of money is pumping in to the Seaquarium. So they've legitimately haven't added to these tanks that were considered okay by 1960s standards, but certainly not okay in a post-blackfish world where you need really large tanks. I mean, I didn't stick around for the Lolita show, but I guarantee you they haven't made that any bigger. And it felt kind of small in the 90s for me. I almost don't want to watch it. And the Seaquarium, their options are kind of limited. Because if the dolphin, it's Seaquarium, if certain dolphins, at SeaWorld, if the dolphins don't want to do a show, they'll just get more dolphins. But it's not like the Seaquarium's buying new dolphins. They're kind of stuck with it. If Lolita doesn't want to perform, you're SOL.
What are you doing at the zoo that you're not applying to SeaWorld? What's happening there?
Well, I think of whales, for example, in a confined space, and it makes me sad, although I suppose I should do the same thing with elephants at the zoo.
It just feels like they generally have more space at the zoo.
But also, there is something about water and the way that water decays things that makes an entire atmosphere feel a little bit sadder. The zoo can be kept up. And I suppose if you pour a lot of money, to me, a water theme park, I get a little sad driving past the one on the way to the Keys as well, because they feel like they're from another time and that they haven't gotten reinforcements or resources since that time. Back when we used to do like, you know, women pyramids on skis.
Marine Stadium. What a time.
It feels like that. Have there been advancements in water parks like that since the 1980s?
But here's where they get you. If they release these dolphins, like that's where you want to romanticize. Just set, you know, Shamu free. Shamu's going to get eaten or drown or just something's going to go wrong.
Those dolphins look very happy.
They
saying,
are not. Trust me on this, Dugatz.
It seems like they're getting fed an enormous amount of good food, good fish.
Their lip does tend to curl up. Yeah. I don't know if it's just them and how their bodies are, but they do look happy. I will give them that.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Do the dolphins trapped at the Seaquarium seem happy to you?
That's an unfair way of phrasing it.
All right, go ahead. You phrase it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Do the dolphins seem happy at the Seaquarium? That's all.
Okay.
Trapped.
We had my senior prom at the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago, and it just reeked of fish. And we were all dressed, you know, very nicely, men in tuxes, eating dinner around all these fish swimming around us. And it just absolutely reeked. I cannot think of a less romantic smell than the reeking scent of fish just swimming around you.
Well, it's not just fish. It's fish, ammonia, and mildew. It's the cocktail that makes it so sick. It's the cocktail of depression because water rots that stuff. I'm telling you that I don't know what got into you, Mike, that made you decide. I understand you want to keep a child entertained, experience new things. And for a child, perhaps the combination of ammonia, fish, and mildew is not as problematic as it is for adults.
You got to get creative. These are desperate times, Dan, if you have a child, all right?
Yeah, I will say the smile that flashed upon her face when that bottlenose dolphin swam past her, that makes it all worth it. And by all worth it, I mean that there was these two out-of-towners from Russia that were tapping on the glass. And that's a no-no. I've seen Finding Nemo. You don't tap on the glass. And they were getting their keys out and they were tapping on the glass, but there was very clearly a communication breakdown. In a pandemic, they came up to Juliet. The lady grabbed Juliet's hand, speaking to her in Russian, and put keys in her hand and started tapping on the glass. And I was just like, how do I do this where I don't seem rude? And how do I convey to a Russian that you're not supposed to tap on the glass? Have you seen Finding Nemo? I was Googling Finding Nemo in Russian.
Well, now they probably have whatever illness your daughter had. So that's their payback, Mike.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
I wanted to ask the group a question here, Stugatz, because this is not meant to point out anybody's ignorances, but it is meant to show how something has become devalued in sports. Stugatz is a sports commentator. He is vaguely aware of things that happen sometimes in sports, but can you give me the name or any information on a no-hitter thrown this weekend? Can you tell me anything? Do you know anything about this? This is not meant to expose you, because I think everyone's going to have a bit of trouble answering this question.
A no-no.
Okay, that's about all I'm going to get from Stugatz on that.
I don't like a dolphin at the Seaquarium. I just want to throw fish at you right now.
Does anyone doing this show right now know who threw a no-hitter this weekend?
I did not know there was a no-no.
It was Wade Miley.
Yeah, you get the hell out of here.
That is correct. Of the Cincinnati Reds. Are you familiar?
What?
Let's do this another way, Stugatz. It was the second one in a week. Are you familiar with how many have been thrown this season? A season that didn't start that long ago. Are you aware of how many have been thrown this season?
A bunch of no-nos, huh?
Four is the answer to my question.
Wow. The seven-inning one, which is just an extraordinary event or whatever they call it.
That doesn't count, though.
Yeah.
So this is the strangest no-hitter that you will find from a pitcher in this modern age, in that he threw 114 pitches and seven were faster than 90 miles an hour. Seven. Now keep in mind, Stugatz, I saw a dude I saw a dude the other day come out and throw a pitch that had, it was a two-seamer, 101 miles an hour with movement. And I'm like, what is that? What, 102 miles an hour and it was breaking away from the hitter? I'm like, no one in the history of humans has been able to hit that pitch.
Wade Miley's arm has never seen 100 miles per hour,
correct.
I promise you.
Right, so it's seven, but what was interesting about this no-hitter was seven pitches faster than 90 miles an hour, 11 pitches slower than 80 miles per hour. So in the modern age where every bullpen arm comes out throwing 98 miles an hour, this is a super unusual no-hitter. But the problem with this is if you keep making these so common, all you're doing is celebrating a really boring game that people had to endure.
Hey, no runs, no hits. It happened two days ago.
I just saw John Means do it a couple of days ago. It just becomes something that isn't any kind of, if you keep them, I mean, four this season, and they're still celebrating them like they're epic occasions, and it should feel like that, but there's so much lack of contact in that sport that I do believe that you start to devalue this so much that an entire room full of people who cover sports and watch sports, it goes right by the wayside. At a time, we've mentioned this before, it used to be that we used to break into games when anyone had a no-hitter, break into live coverage.
Are we going to arrive at a time where someone throws a no-hitter and no one celebrates, no one jumps on top of them, everyone just kind of yawns and walks off the field?
I don't know how many would have to be for that to be the thing, but you've got two in a week and four this season, and it feels dramatically less special than it used to.
I was at a Cubs game in 2015 where Cole Hamels threw a no-hitter, and it wasn't until like the seventh inning that we all sat down, had a beer, looked up. It was already the seventh inning. There were no hits. We were like, holy shit, this is a no-hitter. And then the game was over like 20 minutes later. Like, we were in and out of the stadium in an hour and a half. And when you're on the losing side of a no-hitter, or any side really, like, it's pretty boring. Like, it's not enjoyable to watch. We only had time for like one drink, and then we went home. The Cubs lost. It sucked. I didn't care for it. I was not impressed.
You've never heard this take before, that attending a no-hitter sucks. Great take. Yeah.
Not by an opposing team, 100%. 100%.
Yeah. I'm with her.
It was terrible. Like, this was also, my friend was in town from like out of town. So I'm like, oh, I'll take you to Wrigley Field. We'll have a great day. And then the game was over in like an hour and a half. Like, we only had time for one beer, Mike. You don't go to a Cubs game or any baseball game just to sit there and have one beer and then leave.
I think what she's saying is totally fair. Like, if I'm going to get one of those special games now, I want it to be a perfect game, right? Because who cares about a no-hitter? Right.
Right. I would say in previous years, you might be onto something, because in previous years, you'd say, oh, I was at that Randy Johnson no hitter and be a conversation starter. Whoa, no way. Now, I'm not exactly sure Cole Hamels even threw this no hitter. I have to Google it.
Didn't you call?
I mean, who cares? Like, who cares about Cole Hamels throwing a no hitter? Right. I don't know. I don't.
Didn't you call Mike Friars a loser last week and he's thrown two no hitters?
I think it's Friars.
That sounds like a Billy take. I would never call that guy a loser.
Was it Billy?
Why wouldn't you call him a loser? He is a loser.
A snitch.
Yeah, snitch loser. Stupid G on his face. Done nothing. Broke Stanton's face. He'll be for. What is he going to be remembered for? His no hitters or being a snitch?
Snitch.
Or breaking Stanton's face? He could pitch four more no hitters and he still won't come out of the shadow of all the other nefarious things he's done in his career and his life.
What if he pitches a perfect game, though?
Who cares? It's Mike Fiers.
Put it on the poll, Billy, please, at Lebatard Show. What is Mike Fiers going to be known for the rest of his career? Being a loser, being a snitch, throwing two no-hitters.
Billy mentioned Stanton there. That guy's mashing right now.
Put that in there, too. Breaking Stanton's face. Put that in
there. How does he look like that in a uniform? It's insane.
It's crazy, man.
He looks like he's wearing, like spandex or something, and it's a loose uniform that everyone else wears. How are humans shaped like that?
He looks a bit like Iron Man, like the way the costume, a uniform fits Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, he was in ESPN, the magazine, wearing only body paint, wasn't he? Like, if any of us looked like that, we would be doing that with our spare time as well. Have you, Stugatz, were you following at all what happened with the Mets here this weekend and Francisco Lindor? Do you know what it is that happened with him or no?
No, I know the Mets have won five straight and are in first place. That's what I know. And Lindor hit a homer over the weekend.
This was crazy, this story. I'm not even really sure at this point what's true with this story. It was like there was a commotion after a Mets inning where Lindor had made an error. So all of a sudden, there's a camera shot of a bunch of Mets players running into the tunnel. And there's something going on with Lindor and Jeff McNeil. And it seems serious by the reaction of other players. And then after the game, of course, the media asks about it, and he has this weird answer to it that makes him like not sure if he's telling the truth or not.
I want to sort of put a little more context on this because Lindor, this has been interesting, right? The pressure of a contract. Lindor is indisputably great. He got $341 million. Was he the one that got $1 million? Yeah, he got $1 million more than Fernando Tatis Jr., because he's indisputably great, but New York can do bad things to people and the pressure of those contracts can be hard. And so he has started there very poorly. They are booing him. The Mets are just okay so far, even though they've won five straight.
They fired their hitting coach. I
mean, he's been terrible.
Man, that is such the move, right?
Chili Davis, by the way.
Yeah. If I have a bad week at work, I want to fire a hitting coach just to rationalize it.
I have a Chili Davis story, oddly enough.
I have a Chili story.
My only interaction with Chili Davis very early in my journalism career was walking into, I believe, the Twins clubhouse and asking Chili Davis if he could talk for a second. And he just looked at the ground. And then I'm like, are you available for interviews at all? And he looked at the ground and eventually he just said no. And I'm like, okay, you're serious, right? And his response was, as a fucking heart attack. My only interaction with Chili Davis.
I can see why that stayed with you.
So the back and forth with Jeff McNeil, this was confusing. I had the same reaction that you did, Chris. I'm also surprised that Stugatz is paying so little attention to even his teams that he doesn't have any information on what was a pretty big story in New York with a scandal-ridden team. You know, whenever the Mets aren't performing well and their high-paid guys aren't performing, there's a lot of controversy around their team.
Five straight atop the NL East, DeGrom little injury over the weekend. What am I not following?
But you are not an expert in the Mets, but you are an expert in lying. So you tell me, this is Francisco Lindor talking about what happened. Again, a big commotion that you saw the cameras were on a bunch of guys running to, people assumed, stop a fight that was in the clubhouse between McNeil and Lindor. And here's Lindor saying with a big smile on his face during the Zoom call that it wasn't a fight at all.
Hey, Francisco, what exactly happened in the tunnel there?
Steve, it was funny because I told him, I was like, hey, I'd never seen a New York rat. So we went down sprinting about to go see a New York rat. And he got mad at me. He's like, no, it's not a rat. It's a raccoon. I'm like, hell no, man. It's a damn rat. It's a New York rat, man. I was just crazy because if we were going back and forth debating if it was a rat or a raccoon. Crazy, man. Insane.
Who was he? Who are you debating that with?
With Jeff. I was like, bro, you gotta check this out. I was like, this is a New York rat. He's like, no, man, I've been here longer than you.
I buy it.
And then the next sound, though, this is the next sound where he starts to, apparently he was asked to follow up, kind of just like, wait, are you sure? And this is where it kind of sounds like he might be lying.
Yeah, I was mad on the field because I didn't make the play. So that's why it probably looked like I was angry. And then Jeff, obviously because I was going against him, whether it was a rat or a raccoon, of course he's going to be mad.
He's going to be mad because you were debating whether it was a rat or a raccoon?
Yeah, man.
Logical.
I have no clue.
But you're suspicious, right? Yeah. He does it with a smile on his face, and you're like, well, would he lie this poorly? Like, why? They clearly it was something that was constructed and planned. He thought this out. This wasn't a spur of the moment thing. He thought, what am I going to go in? I've got it. I'm going to go into there. They'll buy it. There won't be any follow-ups, right? I'll tell a funny story through a smile about how crazy something. So like, maybe the last follow-up's about how large the animal was. They're not going to ask about my teammate's possible black eye.
Lindor's smile could do that to you. It really can. Mesmerize you.
He thought that he was going to buy himself out of tabloid controversies with a smile and a story about a rat and a raccoon. And I'm with Chris. The energy of his story sort of falls apart with the elaboration where he's like, it's crazy. And he's smiling. He's like, this always works. Whenever I do the smile thing and whenever I apply some energy to the details of the story, the media finds me charming.
These guys are pressing me.
It is much different, though, when I'm hitting 330 than when I'm hitting 160 and I'm telling all sorts of lies.
Is that why they're called the press?
Yeah, I was mad on the field because I didn't make the play, so that's why it probably looked like I was angry. And then Jeff, obviously because I was going against him, whether it was a rat or a raccoon, of course he's going to be mad.
He's going to be mad because you were debating whether it was a rat or a raccoon?
Yeah, man.
Billy, what are your thoughts here? I'm sorry, Stu Gotts, to point this out to you. It's been distracting for about 9 minutes. You have a boulder in your right nostril.
So does Clooney. Oh.
Yeah, man.
Billy, your thoughts here on whether, well, obviously Lindor is lying, but...
He's not. What do you mean? Obviously he's lying. I want to know if it was a rat or a raccoon. That's all I care about. Why would he be lying about that? You've never got into an argument as to what kind of creature just ran past you in the night? Everyone has.
In New York City, the answer is it's always a rat. The rats here are the size of raccoons. There are no raccoons in Queens. They're all rats. Just a little tip.
Still there? Bat in the cave?
It was much larger than a bat. It was more like a raccoon.
Really? But is it still there?
Yeah, man.
Do you need a tissue, Stu Gotts?
Yeah, man.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text SUNNY to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text SUNNY to 200-300. That's SUNNY to 200-300. SUNNY to 200-300.
It is time for Stu Gotts to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Advance your auto only at Advance Auto Parts. Dan, after dominating the sports headlines for months, it was crashed by a storm of Aaron Rodgers. But after just a week, combined with Todd McShay's 2022 Mach 1.0. And Dan, just like that, the NFL draft is back. The S in Medina Spirit stands for steroids. Did I say that right? Is it Medina or Medina?
Yeah, man.
All right. Bob Baffert's fifth positive drug test for one of his horses in the last 12 months. Someone should look into that. You know what the B in Bob and the B in Baffert stands for? Bad guy. Give me LeBron and Steph in a fight for their lives right now. Wade Miley is still pitching and he's a Red. We're arriving at a point, sorry we discussed this already, Dan, where if a week goes by and there isn't a no-hitter, I'm surprised. A no-no. Driving southbound, on the turnpike from Orlando on a Sunday afternoon. Dangerous game. Perhaps the most dangerous of the driving games. I simply cannot believe I live in a state where people mock you to your face for wearing a mask. Canelo Alvarez beat some fighter named Tomato Can over the weekend via TKO. Dan, you know what the TK in TKO stands for?
Tomato Can.
Tomato Can. You are on your game today, Dano. How about that?
Yeah, man.
Torts! That's all I got. Canelo's good, huh? Who put that in there? I mean, when I just ripped the guy, it'd be a tomato can. TK. Torts.
You mentioned that.
I know, but I can't mention it enough. I mean, he's no longer the coach of the Jackets.
6 years.
I bet you can.
I can't believe that 6 years, the run, the Tortorella run is over.
Yep. May 16th, 2 p.m. Eastern, Toyota Stadium, Frisco, Texas, South Dakota State, Sam Houston State, FCS Championship. Put the kids to bed.
Yeah, man.
With a win tomorrow night in Boston, the Heat could lock up a top six spot and send the Celtics to a play-in game. In other words, they could seal Boston's fate. The Celts. The Seas. Dan, few things better than sealing someone's fate.
I mean, is that right?
Oh, it feels great when you seal a fate. I mean, Sixers. Uh-oh. Utah. Bucks. Interesting. Blazers, be careful. Hawks, humming. Manchester City, coasting.
It's just, what happened? It's your basketball analysis.
That's what it is.
Can you get me? No, no, Jazz. I think that was the Jazz.
Utah,
humming.
No, that's the Hawks. Come on, Hawks, get it right. Get it
no,
right.
No, Donovan Mitchell, still number one in the West.
Hawks are humming, but he hummed for Utah.
That's right. That's right.
And the Bucks are interesting.
Yeah,
man. Everyone's writing him off, and they have the best player in the world, perhaps. I mean,
yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's not.
Oh, yeah, that was Utah.
That's Utah. Yeah.
And by the Sixers, uh-oh.
Yeah, man.
Starting to play good. Watch out. Doc.
Wait, I thought I was watching out for someone else.
That was last week. We were watching out for somebody. The Nuggets, I think we were watching out for.
Yeah, we're not watching out for them anymore.
We had an eye on Memphis as well, and we had another eye somewhere else. And
we still have an eye on Memphis.
Third eye was someplace else.
Also, Blazers, be careful.
I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know what
I wouldn't
want to
face that team. They're dangerous.
Okay, so
I am telling
you. I thought
you
were telling them to be careful because they might not make the playoffs.
No, this is they're firmly entrenched in the playoffs. This is a warning to the rest of the league. Be careful. Because Lillard carried them through a time where they were very, very injured. And all those guys, Nurkic, I think I'm saying that right. He's playing fantastic.
You've never said his last name right.
How do you say it?
There's an itch at the end.
Nurkic?
Yeah.
Really?
Always.
Okay. Silent H? Anyway, he's playing great. CJ McCollum is healthy now.
They're presently
and Carmelo off the bench.
They're presently a six seed, and you just called them firmly entrenched.
Be careful.
There's a play-in round.
They're not playing in that, though.
I mean, as of right now. But
well, the Lakers are.
Well,
it's a game for our lives. You know, Steph and LeBron, give me that.
They're a game out from being in the play-in series.
Right, they're also a game out, I think, from being the three seed, something like that.
Firmly entrenched.
Was Utah.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
They're six games back from the three seed with four to play.
I mean, look, they can still pull it off. I mean,
no, they can't.
Do the math. No.
Yeah, man.
But they're a game out of five. Mavs. Got nothing on that.
The Mavs escaped all your little sounds and your single syllable analysis. I know, be careful. The Mavs don't get anything. Not to keep an eye on them. Nothing.
Nothing. Nope. Sergio Agliero.
No.
What happened? Ags. No, what happened?
There is no L in there.
You put an L in here.
No, I didn't.
Dan, is there an L in there?
Is there?
It's the last one on the bottom of the page. Sergio.
Or is that an umlaut?
Where do you see an L? There's an umlaut. You accused
it's an umlaut.
An umlaut.
My
over
L is your umlaut.
You
I mean,
look to you like a straight line.
That's a fine. blame somebody else.
Dan's blaming someone else. He's blaming his umlaut.
G U E R O, and you saw an L in there. There is not a thin letter in there.
Aguila? Is that right? Sergio Aguila with the worst Panuka attempt.
Not a Panuka.
What was it?
Panenka.
This is a tricky one.
Panenka attempt you'll ever see. Tell you what, unless you name it. Oh, Jesus.
Unless does have an L in it.
Yeah. Jorginho.
No, it's Jorginho. Oh, you want to start at the beginning?
No, I don't. All right. Well, from the top?
Take it from the top.
No.
Like
the and it's Aguero.
Please,
it's Aguero.
No.
Sergio Aguero.
No, keep going.
With the worst Panuka attempt.
Panenka.
Panenka attempt. Panuka, tomato, tomato.
I just told you.
You'll ever see. Tell you what, unless your name is Jorginho, put your foot through the ball, please. Aguero. Panuka. Tired of it. I nailed it. What that? Where was I? Florida Panthers. Vegas Knights, Lord Stanley, Collision Course.
Really?
That one's more your speed, yeah.
Yeah, that's an easy one. Dan, don't look now, but we are 29 games in, and the New York Metropolitans have won 5 straight, are in first place in the NL East. How about that? You thought I wasn't on top of my Mets.
I think everyone in that division has a negative run differential except for the Miami Marlins.
Still? I don't think you're right. I'm checking right now.
He's right.
He is?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
First place.
It's an L in there.
A LeBron-Steph play-in game would do NBA Finals type ratings.
Yeah, man.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, man.
No.
Unless, of course, the NBA Finals included the New York Knickerbockers. How about that?
How many how about that have you said?
By the way,
you have said how about that about 40 times in an hour and 20 minutes today.
Damn, we've been doing the show 20 years. You name the other time the Mets and Knicks have been in first place at the same exact time. I'm excited, man. Jeez.
So when you get excited,
I got a new quarterback.
When you get excited, you just spit out how about that all over the place.
That's how I celebrate. Yes. Do you agree on the LeBron Steph playing game?
I already disagreed with that.
It's too bad. You're wrong. By the way, I know I ignored Jacob DeGrom's injury before, trying not to think about it. The DeGrominator. Jimmy Butler gives you a little bit of everything. Death, taxes, and Lewis Hamilton. Bolts, cats, this means. If, like me over the weekend, you were wondering about the whereabouts of Adam Wainwright, nothing much has changed. Still a Cardinal. Still a horse. The Cards. DK Metcalf running a 10-3-7 100-yard dash doesn't seem fair. He finished 15 out of 17 sprinters with a time that would have won a gold medal in 1932.
Can you imagine? I want you to imagine. I want you to imagine DK Metcalf showing up at the sprints in 1932. One of the guys running is like got a second job as a plumber.
And Hinge drives DK.
He's racing against people with handlebar mustaches.
Everybody looks like the Red Baron.
Oh, my goodness. Bryson DeChambeau leaving a tournament and having to fly back all because he didn't think he made the cut. Bryson, the Stugatz is strong in you. Major League Soccer, heed my words. Official Joe Dickerson is a problem. What happened Sunday was a disgrace. And now you've got an enemy. I'm one. I didn't read that one. I'm sorry, Mike. I didn't read that. You threw that in there, your soccer shit. I mean, Jesus.
In one.
Oh, it was rolling there, too. You've got an enemy. In one, John Wiener. Tread lightly. I care about you. A flagrant two seems like an appropriately named call for punching someone in the nuts.
Oh, my God.
Appropriately. I said it right. Appropriately. I didn't.
No, and I think I can still see that boulder.
Yeah, man.
You can still see Clooney's.
Yeah, man.
Is it gone? Smitty, is it gone?
Looks good.
Thank you. A flagrant two seems like an appropriately... Damn it. F*** off.
Yeah, man.
Here's a list of all the current Knick players who are more popular than Carmelo Anthony. Everyone. Five-star big man, Elton Reed, committed to LSU. I mean, has Elton seen the news? Is that really the place you want to be right now? Just hired Kim Mulkey. What the hell, or when the hell, did Reggie Bullock become a good basketball player? I am rattled. Speaking of hell, Art Briles, Michael, those, and Dan are the weekend observations. I'm rattled.
You said Michael.
I mean, I was looking at you. I got to tell you what really threw me off. My whole day, as a matter of fact.
It was the boulder.
No, not the boulder. The boulder's fine.
The Panuka?
No, not the Panuka. No.
The umlaut?
You'll get to it. I can even deal with the umlaut.
Is it Hawks humming?
Yeah, it wasn't the Hawks humming. No,
was
no,
it
no.
Utah?
No, it wasn't. That was good. No.
Aguilera?
No, that was not it either. No.
Knights instead of Golden Knights?
Nope.
Was it Dan?
That's.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.